We shall now turn to the chapter which we read together, John's Gospel, chapter 3, and our text for this morning is verse 7. John chapter 3 and verse 7. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Now, last Sunday morning, we noticed that there were essentially two groups amongst the Jews in the time of Jesus. There were the Pharisees and there were the Sadducees. And last Sunday morning, we looked at the Sadducees and we noticed various things about them. For example, they didn't believe in the resurrection, and they didn't believe in angels and spirits. Well, today I would like us to look at the Pharisees. The Sadducees, in a sense, were the liberals. I don't think there's any Sadducees amongst us here. However, the Pharisees were the conservative ones, the orthodox ones. And my fear is that there may well be some Pharisees amongst us here today. The Pharisees were very different. They were good living, very strict in keeping to the Bible, to the law of God. They had a very sensitive conscience. You couldn't put a finger on their life outwardly. And yet, there was something vital missing. What was that? What was wrong with the Pharisees? The problem was they didn't have the Holy Spirit. That's, you see, what happens when a person is born again. The Holy Spirit comes to live in their heart. Now, Jesus tells us a very threatening parable. The parable of the 10 virgins. It's really quite a shocking parable. We're told about these 10 virgins who were waiting for the bridegroom to come. And they really were very, very similar. They were all young women. They were all bridesmaids. They were all waiting for the bridegroom. They were looking forward to going to the heavenly feast. They all expected to be in heaven at the end, at the wedding feast. But then when the bridegroom came, some of them had oil in their lamps and some had none. And those who had oil along with their lamps went into the wedding. The others went hunting for oil and the door was shut. And what is the oil? The oil is, of course, the Holy Spirit. 10 members of the church who expected to go to heaven, 5 locked out. Does that frighten you? If it doesn't, it ought to. It ought to frighten you and it ought to frighten me. That we can think everything is fine. Everything is wonderful. We're all going to heaven. And then find out that we're in hell. But you say, that won't be me. I had a conversion experience a number of years ago. But How do you know it was a genuine conversion? How do you know it was the real thing? How do you know it wasn't just a kind of experience that Satan gave you in order to deceive you? But I believe in Jesus. I trust in Jesus. I look to Jesus. I believe Jesus died for my sins and rose again. Well, the devils believe and tremble. Nicodemus here was a sincere man. He was morally upright. He was highly respected. He belonged to the Jewish Sanhedrin, the Jewish council. And we're not told one bad thing about Nicodemus. But he's missing the vital point, the new birth. Jesus says to him, Jesus' first greeting to him, when he says, he comes to Jesus and says, we know that thou art a teacher, come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus says to him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man, unless a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus, you need to be born again. Verse 7, marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. Were you born again? Yes, you say. How would you prove that you are born again? What is the essential difference between you, who claim to be born again, and a good living upright Pharisee who thinks he's born again but not? It's a very important question. I would like us this morning to engage in a measure of self-examination, to ask ourselves some questions. Because the last thing I would want as a Christian minister is that there should be anybody in my congregation, either present here today or listening in online, who thinks they're going to heaven and when they die they will open their eyes in hell. That would be horrible. That would be terrible for me as a minister. I cannot contemplate that with any measure of peace and calmness. And so I would like us to involve ourselves today in self-examination, and I would like to draw up today 7 distinguishing marks of somebody who's truly born again. 7 clear marks of a born-again Christian. And I'd like you to ask yourself, is that me? Am I born again or am I not? Now, the first thing I want to mention today is joy. The true Christian has great joy. Peter calls it joy unspeakable and full of glory, indescribable. Do you have joy? Now, I'm not asking, do you enjoy the pleasures of the world? Of course, you get joy from your family. You get joy maybe from your work, from food and drink and music and films and sport and friends and all these worldly things. But what I'm asking is, where does your greatest joy come from? What thrills you most? What gets you most excited? Is it Jesus? Is it the cross? Is it Christ suffering and dying? Is it his resurrection? Is it the things of God that thrill you and send shivers, as it were, down your spine? Be honest. What makes you happiest? What gives you most joy? Do you know what it is to be joyful in the Lord? The Pharisee is very religious, but he doesn't know this overwhelming joy. What about you? So that's the first point. Do you have real joy in your religion? Is there real excitement in your religion? The second point is sadness, sorrow, grief. Do you have great sorrow? You see, I'm laying a lot of stress on feelings, because at the end of the day, the new birth is something that you feel. And if our Christianity doesn't affect our feelings, it's dead. The new birth transforms us. And so, yes, there's joy, but there's at the very same time great sadness in the born-again Christian. Sadness because of the reality of sin. A Pharisee, of course, is very careful about their life, and they try very hard to do what is right. But the Pharisee feels that he's doing okay. He's not too bad. The Pharisee thinks, well, I'm better than some. I think I'm okay, really. I'm not perfect, but I'm a lot better than some others. Think of the Pharisee and the publican who went up to the temple to pray. Jesus told us the story about them. And he said, the Pharisee, he prayed thus, I thank thee, Lord, that I am not as other men are, some other people. I thank thee that I'm better than some. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. I thank thee that I'm not an extortioner, a thief, a fraud. I thank thee that I'm not an extortioner, unjust, an adulterer, or even like this publican here. So the Pharisee was reasonably happy with his life, feeling that he was doing okay, doing quite well. But the true born-again Christian is like Paul, who cried out, O wretched man that I am! What a failure I am! When did you last say, oh, wretched man that I am. I'm ashamed of myself. I feel really sorry. I'm making such a mess of my life. I failed so much. Paul, you remember, once said, I'm less than the least of all the saints. I'm the poorest of Christians. Even Paul, the saintly Paul. Do you find yourself grieving over your sin, troubled by how you've gone wrong, you've done this, you've done that, You've said this, said that, but particularly you've thought this and you've thought that. And you're ashamed of yourself. Sadness. Because when a person is born again, a battle begins inside. Two principles are fighting one another. The principle of good and the principle of evil. The two are battling away. The good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Oh, wretched man that I am. What a failure I am in so many ways. So the Christian then is characterized by great joy in their religion and great sorrow. Do you have both these? A third mark of being born again is love. Remember how Paul put it in Galatians 5. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, etc. Love. Now, I'm sure we all know something about love. You love your husband, you love your wife, you love your children, you love your grandchildren. We hugely miss not seeing more of our grandchildren because of this present lockdown. But do you miss God? Do you miss Jesus? Are you in love with him? Are you saying, oh, that I knew where I might find him? That I would see God, feel God, hear God, meet up with God, experience God. God seems so far away. I love him. I love him with all my heart. Is that what you're saying? Do you have this love for him? Lord Jesus, let me see your face. Let me hear your voice. Let me feel your embrace. Oh, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Is that your cry? Do you desire after him? Has his Spirit come into your heart and stirred you up in this way? Do you love Jesus? So love is another mark then. A fourth mark is with regard to the law of God. Now the law is very important to Pharisees, and they get great satisfaction from keeping the law. And they're troubled about small breaches of the law. Yet it's really in an outward kind of way, in words and in deeds. Think, for example, of the eighth commandment, thou shalt not steal. Now, the Pharisee is very, very careful to keep this commandment, very careful that they won't steal. They wouldn't steal a penny from somebody. And if they thought that they were taking a penny from somebody falsely, they would be so troubled about it. What about stealing from God? Stealing the honor from God? The glory from God? Time from God? Service from God? The Pharisee is really troubled about the commandment, thou shalt not steal. But what about the 10th commandment? Thou shalt not covet. Pharisee doesn't bother too much about that one. What's wrong with a little bit of coveting, a little bit of desiring what others have, being a little bit jealous of them, wishing you were a bit richer, wishing you had this car, that home, this job? Thou shalt not covet. That doesn't bother the Pharisee much, but it bothers the true Christian. When the true Christian, the true born-again Christian, sees covetousness in their hearts, they're ashamed and they grieve before God and they mourn over it. Or take the ninth commandment. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not tell lies. Now the Pharisees very, very careful about this. Tries very, very hard to be honest, never to tell a lie. Scrupulously honest. But doesn't mind a little bit of hypocrisy. A little bit of pretending that they're better than they are. A little bit of pride. Think of the fourth commandment. Fourth commandment was very important to the Jews. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. It should be important to us too. It's a very important commandment. Now the Pharisee is very careful not to work on Sunday. But what about keeping the day holy? The Pharisee rests from weekly work on the Sabbath and wouldn't work. But is the Pharisee as concerned to keep the day holy, to spend the whole day worshiping God, in public and private worship particularly? You see, the law, the outward keeping of the law, very important to the Pharisee, but heart, thoughts, no. Well, that's where you see the born-again Christian. Moving on to a fifth point, delight in the Scriptures. The Scriptures, the Bible, is the Word of God. The true born-again Christian views the Bible as his food, her daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. And the true born again Christian every day comes to the Bible, reading the Bible. Now the Pharisee will read the Bible, read a chapter every day, as a sense of duty. But the Christian does it out of pleasure, and loiters, doesn't rush through the reading, but loiters over it, meditating on it, taking it with them, thinking about it afterwards. Are you a born again Christian, or are you just a Pharisee? Do you delight in the Word of God? Do you delight in that contact with heaven? Do you come to the Scriptures and say, Lord, what have you got to say to me today? And then a sixth point, prayer. The true Christian delights in prayer. The Pharisee says his prayers. Do you say your prayers, or do you really pray? Do you go through the duty of prayer, or do you draw near to God and delight in God and speak to him and pour out your heart to him? It's not always easy, of course. Sometimes we feel we're just praying, as it were, to the ceiling. But then do you pray till you pray? Do you keep on coming to the Lord until you get through to him? And you feel he's listening to you, and you're able to share your heart with him. Delighting in prayer. Born again Christian wants to get through to God, wants liberty in prayer, wants to pour out their heart in worship and praise to God. And the born again Christian is chatting to God through the day and through the night. Going around the world, speaking to God in the secrecy of their heart. Communication with God. Delight in prayer. And then a seventh point. The born again Christian is a stranger in this world. The Pharisee isn't really. The Pharisee and Pharisaical religion does okay in the world. It's quite popular. Doesn't offend anybody. It's generally acceptable. But the true Christian feels odd, feels out of it, feels a stranger, feels that they belong to another world. Their mind is set in heaven. They're longing to be with Christ. And they think of the joy of heaven. What do you think of when you think of heaven? What would you enjoy most in heaven? Staring at Christ, is it? Listening to every word coming out of his mouth. Is that what you think of when you think of heaven? Well, that's what the true born again Christian thinks of. Looking into the face of Jesus. Seeing the one we love, watching every movement of Christ, listening to every breath that comes out of his mouth, being close to him. You see, we can outwardly conform to certain things, and we can be really excited about the things of God. I remember my children, I could mention my two sons when they were young. I remember one of them saying how he was bored with my sermons. Another saying that he was bored with the Sabbath. No, that's true. If you're not born again, you would be bored with my sermons. And if you're not born again, you'd be bored with the Sabbath. What is the Sabbath God for somebody who's not born again? At that stage, before they were converted, there was no excitement in listening to the Word of God and studying it. And there was no excitement in the Sabbath. They could think of the other 6 days and all the pleasures that they could do and all their playing around and all they could do in these other days. But Sunday is just... it's all about praying and talking about the Bible and reading the Bible and reading good books and going to church. And yeah, Sunday's boring. Boring for the Pharisee. But then when you're born again, I remember one young fellow, my congregation in Partick, saying to his father, "The minister's sermons have changed recently. They're so much more interesting now." But it wasn't actually the minister's sermons that had changed. It was he himself. He had been born again. And now there was a new interest, an excitement about these things. So, friends, what kind of religion do you have? In a sense, we could sum all of it up with this word, desire. The Pharisee does religion, and maybe can have some measure of contentment in the fact that they're quite a good person and they hope they're going to heaven. But the true Christian desires, longs, hungers, thirsts, yearns for God, feels a failure but yet rejoices in the blood of Christ, is sad with the sin in their heart but yet rejoices that Jesus bore that sin away on the cross, loves the law of God and is ashamed at his own failure. And every true Christian knows moments of joy unspeakable and full of glory. Joy in the Lord. Are you born again? Or are you a Pharisee? Jesus says, ye must be born again. If you're not born again, it would be wonderful if you discovered that today. So horrible if you'd continue all your way through life and die, and then open your eyes in hell. I'm lost. I'm lost. I'm lost forever. And it's too late. No second chance. Today is the day of salvation. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. You must be born again. Make sure you're born again. Seek the Lord with all your heart to be sure you are born again. Cry unto him for the new birth. Cry unto God to come into your life. The new birth is not something that you can perform yourself. You need God to do it, because essentially it's a third person of the Trinity coming from heaven and entering into you to live in your heart and to be with you forevermore. And that's a miracle. It's something really amazing. And yet, in the gospel, this is what is offered. Jesus says, look to me, believe in me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Repent of your sins, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Let's pray. O Lord our God, we thank thee for the warnings of Scripture, the challenges of Scripture. We pray, Lord, that this word of thine would reach into our hearts and transform our lives, so that we wouldn't just be acting out the Christian faith. We wouldn't just be following, as it were, outwardly. But grant, O Lord, that we would know what it is to be radically transformed. For if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are made new. Lord, may we know every one of us here and all who are listening in. May we know what it is to be new men and new women, new boys and girls in Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.